You're listening to the Boss Level Podcast. Boss Level is the status a person or an organization achieves by doing the right things regardless of all the haters out there. Before we get started with today's episode, a thank you is due. The holiday season treated the podcast very well. Thousands of people listened to episodes around Christmas and New Year's. And as a result, the Boss Level Podcast was in the very top of the charts on iTunes in Finland for several days in a row. The best ranking was number two, while number one was Serial, which I think is the most popular podcast of all time in the world. And pretty much all of the others in the top 10 have a way bigger production team and budget than, well, just me. So thank you for listening, and keep recommending the podcast to friends, family, colleagues, ex-girlfriends, ex-boyfriends, Tinder dates, tweeps, and random people you meet on the bus. Thank you. Now, on with the show. Imagine that you're 80 years old. You recently hurt your hip in a fall. And it's not broken, but you have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning. A nurse rushes into your home. He barely has the time to say hello. He gets you up as quick as possible. And he dresses you so fast, you feel like you haven't even woken up yet. He gives you your pills, and you think you hear him tapping his foot while waiting for you to swallow the pills. The nurse rushes out the door and drives away. You're left wondering, what just happened? In 2006, a guy called Josta Blok was completely fed up with how home care was done in Holland. Managers with no nursing background were trying to optimize efficiency, and care had been reduced to tasks with tightly allocated time slots. Patients felt that the care was rushed, and the nurses hated not being able to do their work properly. So as a result, Jos quit his job as a manager and founded Budzorg, a home care company that would do things differently.
It's different in some ways. One is the way we try to deliver our services is different, because the most important goal is that we support people in a way that we are not needed anymore.
This is the guy I mentioned, Josta Blok. He is the CEO and founder of Budzorg.
So in Holland, and in the old system, as I can say now, organizations, home care organizations, wanted to provide activities, care, hours of care, and wanted to provide as much as possible, because you get paid by the hour, and by delivering more hours, you get paid more. What we said is that from an ethical perspective and from a quality of life perspective, you should support people in a way that they can help themselves again, if that's possible. So we involve the family, we involve the neighborhood in the solution. And then it's better if you can find solutions in a way that we are not needed anymore. Mm-hmm. Then we say, okay, then we are happy with that.
In Jos's experience, management seemed to cause more problems than it solved. So Budzorg doesn't have managers.
We don't have a management structure, so all the teams are self-organized. They're all hired by the foundation Budzorg, but they are feeling that they have their own small company in the neighborhood. So they have their own office, hire their own colleagues. They make their own decisions on almost everything they meet in their daily work. They make their own schedules. They divide the roles in a team. So they're all self-organized teams, and we don't have managers.
Okay, no managers. So that means that they have to be really small, right? Because if you're big, you need a hierarchy. Well,
we are working in more than 800 neighborhoods in Holland. And in total, we have around 10,000 employees.
How big is it, like, if you look at Holland, how big in Holland are you?
If you look at the comparable organization, then we are three times as big as the second one.
Really? Yeah. That's huge.
Yes, but it's not very important.
And the results? Well, Budzorg is a non-profit organization, but they've had enough surplus to give out bonuses to the employees. Clients rate Budzorg as 9.1 out of 10, while the average in Holland is 7.3. But what about the employees? How do the nurses like working for Budzorg?
The nurses, they can do what I think it's really important. Mm. So from morning till evening when they work, they're doing things which are very meaningful, and they can decide on how they're doing it, so they can make their own decisions. So also the satisfaction of the nurses is the highest in the country.
Budzorg has been selected as the best place to work in Holland 5 times in a row. So no matter how you look at it, the results are phenomenal. Me and my colleague Panu Liira visited Budzorg in November 2015. We joined a meeting with representatives from all the Amsterdam teams where they discussed their current status.
Everything is very good in our area.
We then took a 2-hour train trip to Almelo, where the Budzorg headquarters is located, and slept in a hotel that used to be a prison. We got a tour of the headquarters, met several friendly people, and a dog that was so cute I had to send a photo of him to my wife. The Budzorg HQ is basically a back office for the whole company. Any guesses on how big the back office is when it needs to support 10,000 people? Well, it's 30 people. 30 people in support roles handling office, rent agreements, salaries, all the admin, and that kind of stuff. It's crazy. Jos, the CEO, also sits at the headquarters. So, but if there are no managers, then what does he do?
What I try to do is to avoid all the unnecessary bureaucracy. In healthcare, and I think also in other industries, there's usually a lot of bureaucracy from outside. So I try to more or less work as a heat shield, so to keep all the silly bureaucracy outside.
After I interviewed Jos, we crammed into a small Volkswagen Polo and visited some clients with two nurses, Ines and Ellen.
No, the client is over there.
So, okay. Should we take our shoes off or?
No, it's okay.
It's
okay.
Okay.
For me and Panu, it was a little weird to be walking into people's homes, but the nurses walked in as good friends would. They greeted the family, they teased the kids, and then did their work with great empathy. Budzorg is divided into independent teams that manage themselves. Each team is responsible for a certain geographic area. The nurses plan their work together. They know their patients well and aim to build a trusting relationship with them, their relatives, and other carers, such as doctors or physiotherapists. The teams hire new nurses when necessary. Most of the new clients come through recommendations from doctors or existing clients. There are clear boundaries for self-organization. A team consists of a maximum of 12 nurses, and if it gets bigger than that, then it has to split. Teams should have at least 60% of billable hours. Team office rent should not go above a certain number. But within these boundaries, the teams can operate as they see fit. In addition to nurses, Budzorg has roughly 17 coaches. Coaches facilitate discussions and share observations that the team might want to consider, but they have no formal authority over the teams. Gertje, who now coordinates their international cooperation, used to be a coach until very recently. So I asked her if she ever acted as a manager or made any decisions for the teams.
I will always try not to make decisions for them or to find solutions for them. I will show them several examples and mm-hmm. I will help them in the process mm-hmm. towards making a decision.
Yeah.
But although it's sometimes very difficult, I will never make the decision for them. I will try to stay away from this role of a manager.
Yeah.
Although quite often the teams, when they really are in a big conflict or whatever, they directly ask me, please be a manager now and make this decision for us and just say what we have to do.
And what do you do in those kinds of situations?
Then I of course, I say, well, I understand, but I won't do it because I think if I would do that for the short term, you might think this mm-hmm. would help, but for the long term, it wouldn't help you, because it really has to be your decision and your solution that would really work, make it work.
Yeah.
Now that we've covered how Buurtzorg operates, here's the rest of the interview with Jos.
All this is like really amazing. So how did you get to this? How, what's the history of Buurtzorg? How did you get to be like so work in such a different way? What's your background with this?
My background. I'm when I was 18, I studied economics.
Yeah.
But then I didn't want to work in this world of money. So and I got more or less depressed of this study. So I quit my study, and I did some holiday work when I was 16, I think, in the hospital. So then I decided to become a nurse, worked for 4 years in the hospital, and then I worked for 8-9 years in the community as a community health nurse. Mm-hmm. And it was in the most amazing time, and that was in the 80s of the last century. So I had this experience, and I was only working with colleagues who had the same ideas, the same vision, the same ambition. We didn't have this professional organizations at that time. So this new public management was not, yet discovered. So we were just organizing on a very natural way. So this was the experience. And then I became manager and director for 10 years in two big home care organizations. And I saw how this worked out, for the in daily practice. So you saw that on one hand, the management world and the policy world had the idea that they were improving things. And on the other hand, you saw in daily practice, when you talked with the nurses, it became worse and worse.
Yeah.
So, and that was also what I felt. I still was this district nurse, and also felt uncomfortable with the idea that the management was disturbing the daily work of the nurses. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of organizations, you see that the management and the policymakers think they are improving things. And in general, I think they're not. Mm-hmm. They are disturbing the work of the people who are doing the important things, working with the patients. So in this period, I together with some friends, one of my friends, Art Leverink, he was responsible for the IT. Mm-hmm. And together we discussed that we need to have another concept on how to deal with these things. And my ideas about self-organizing teams, I had for a long time. And he had an idea how can we support it with IT. Mm-hmm. So together we developed a concept so we could work in a way that it could be done within the system. And we had an idea that step by step we could also influence the system to a more human way of working. So that was our perception in 2006 when I resigned at the organization and just started. Also with my wife. So my wife got a very important role because she developed all the practical administrative things. Mm-hmm. So we said we want to keep everything as simple as possible.
Yeah.
So we don't going to use all these complicated HR systems or quality systems. We just use our common sense and say, okay, mm-hmm. it has to be understood by every nurse how we work, how the money streams works. So what comes in, what goes out, and then it will lead to accountability, to responsibility for everybody.
So if I try to sum that up, so basically you started studying economics, but then ended up becoming a nurse because you wanted to focus on something more meaningful than just money.
Yeah.
And then you became a manager in a nursing company or healthcare company, and you noticed that management is actually disturbing work more than actually helping it.
Yeah.
And that's how you decided that you want to start something that acts in a different way, operates differently.
Yeah.
And that's how Buurtzorg was born.
Yeah.
Okay. And now, so Buurtzorg was founded in 2007, Am I right? Or 2006?
2006, yeah.
Okay. And since then, you've now grown to 10,000 people. What's changed since the beginning? Is the operating principles or the ways that you run the company, are they still the same as they were in 2006?
Yeah, I think so. I think that in the principles, everything is still the same. I think we found out that the using the IT system and using also the community in the IT system became more and more important. So the ideas of how to share knowledge, how to share experiences, and how to use the internet and the IT got a more important role than we had from the start.
Mm-hmm.
The organization is almost paperless, I think.
Yeah.
So all the nurses are working with tablets. But in the principles, I don't think that we didn't change anything
mm-hmm.
important. Our state is still the same.
Yeah. If you tried to sum up the principles of Budsog and mm-hmm. how it operates, what would you say? What are the core principles?
I think one is the ideas of self-organizing teams, so the self-management. Another principle, I think, is do what you think you should do. Then you can say the common sense principle. So just do what you think is useful.
Mm-hmm.
And don't do what's useless. So we have in a lot of organizations, we have a lot of regulations and protocols, which are sometimes very silly, very stupid.
Yeah.
So people people are just doing it because they said, it's I'm asked to do it because my manager wants me to do it. So a lot of all these things we try to avoid. So and perhaps I can mention one more, which comes along with these three, I think, is the trying to simplify things. So you see when organizations are growing. There are certain regulations from outside.
Mm-hmm.
You see that the complexity grows. So a lot of people make things more complex than needed. And what we say is try to make things more simple. And when things are more simple, people feel invited to do something. If they can oversee how it is, then that takes responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And what it sounds to me like is that there's actually quite a lot of complexity in the things that you do, but the way that you deal with it is by letting the nurses do what they feel is right. So they kind of absorb the complexity. They take care of it.
Yeah. Now, but what's really complex sometimes is the situations of patients.
Yeah.
So if you look at, we do a lot of terminal care at home, palliative terminal care, and where people are in the last phase of their lives. There can be very complicated, not only the nursing side, but also the environment. How to organize it in a way that people can stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
So that asks a lot of organizational talents. So that's I think, in my opinion, the real complex things. And from the organizational perspective, if everyone behaves responsible, then the organizational part is not so complicated. But if you start with strategies, visions, policies, and so on, then you create a lot of complexity.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, it's also the language. If you look at the average policy note, then you see that sometimes a big part of the language of the used words
mm-hmm.
are not understood by people who are doing the daily work. So words are very important. So how to avoid words which don't have a meaning?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of we call it plastic language.
Yeah.
So you can have a whole full page with words which says nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and policy people are very good at it, writing a lot of things which you think, what's really the message from what's been written here?
Yeah, What do you think that others could learn? Like, if there's a company that's not doing nursing and it's in some other industry and it's fairly like traditionally run, they have a hierarchy, they have managers. What do you think that they could learn from Brutzorg?
I think they can learn a lot if they want. The start is do they want to learn?
Yeah, yeah.
So the first question is we don't want to be arrogant that people should learn from us. But if I think my experience is that I think organizations should ask themselves, are we fit for the future? Are we organizing in a way that it leads to the best results for our clients, our customers, and our employees? Mm-hmm. So, and then if you ask these questions, I think going on a journey that you try to find out what could be an alternative. Mm-hmm. And then you're open for other ways of thinking and another mindset, yeah. Then I think you can learn a lot. Then you can just learn that by turning the pyramid upside down, yeah. You can create a much nicer environment for everybody.
So based on like the results that Brutzorg is getting, you're like, costs are going down, patients are more satisfied, employees are more satisfied, you're able to scale this very well. The results are amazing. So what do you think why is everyone not doing this? I mean, why is Finland not doing this? Why is Sweden, like, why is it so hard for other countries to adopt a similar fashion or similar working style?
I think we got used to thinking top down. You know, if you look at the speed in how management programs are developed in all these countries. So the new public management, if you look at healthcare, but the MBA thinking, as I call it, became dominant in the 80s, 90s, and the last 15 years. So what you see is that these patterns of thinking in organizations, they usually the management speaks the same language, and they don't know anymore that there are different other ways. Yeah. So if you all, that's what I saw in the organizations I worked before, that every director, every manager was sent to this education program. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you became one of them after. So, and then it's also about payment. So the management is paid much more than others by doing less complicated work. So it's not very logic. But that it's created a world where you have the in a lot of countries, I think there are a lot of people talking about things, but they don't really know what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the knowledge about the professions itself, if you have teachers, if you have policemen, you have nurses, doctors, and so on, the decisions in policy world are made by people who don't have often have this background in these professions. Yeah. So it's all about managerial things. It's about how can we control it? How can we manage it?
And what's also striking about Brutzorg is that your nurse, we met Goethe yesterday, who's now starting to work with the international affairs at Brutzorg, and she used to be a coach, and she's also a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone we met, like if like well, all the nurses were, of course, nurses, but also all the coaches that we met, they also were nurses. They used to be nurses. And the idea, and someone actually mentioned this in a discussion yesterday, that the point is that you need to understand the daily work.
Yeah.
In order to be able to help others with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's you can see that throughout the organization, that everyone actually understand what it's like being a nurse.
Yeah. But it was only, I think, 10 years ago that the bigger home care organizations in Holland said, it's a disadvantage when you have a nursing background, because then you're stuck in your nursing thinking. Mm-hmm. So we said we need people with a business background, mm-hmm. who have an open mind to how to organize.
Okay.
So we got all these business people coming in the healthcare, and that created healthcare as a business. So that's but not it didn't improve healthcare. It made it worse. Mm-hmm. So I think in every company, what you're doing, if you don't understand what's the core of your service, and if you don't understand what it means for daily practice, mm-hmm. you're going to make the wrong decisions. So as I think if it would be wise as a CEO or as the top of the organization, that you really understand the daily practice, and you should have dialogues with the people who do the activities, the daily activities, delivering the services, to find out what are the most important things you should think of. You know, now it's almost an isolated world. In Holland, usually it's said that every year, one or two times, the management team with the CEO is going on a trip, mm-hmm. for some days to discuss the strategy for the coming years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's just what they shouldn't do. You know, it's silly that you are isolating yourself and talking with same-minded people,
yeah.
with the same paradigm.
Yeah.
You should talk with your clients. You should talk with your employees.
Yeah.
But what do you see? What you think we should change? Yeah. But then they are going away. Sometimes they are going abroad. And then they come back. And they said, this is the strategy. You have a new vision. And we are going to tell it everybody.
Yeah.
And then they write it down in beautiful notes and more beautiful colored magazines. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they say, please let me know what you think about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people think, oh, what's this? So that the communication, yeah. with the different levels in organization is usually, I think, a big problem, but nobody notice.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're only focusing on what you think yourself is important.
Yeah.
But it's perhaps a little bit too general, or generalistic. But I think that's what I saw what happened.
Yeah, yeah. So what's going to be in the future for Bootsorg? What are you going to be focusing on next? Because like you're at 10,000 people now, mm-hmm. and you're doing great things. What's coming next?
I would have a lot of requests from other countries. So mm-hmm. we started in Asia, in Japan, China, Korea, Singapore, Taiwan, the US, England, Scotland. So there are lots of countries. We start in Sweden. A lot of countries who have interest in what we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So my idea is if we can create startups or we can work together with other organizations, it can lead to the same kind of movement,
mm-hmm.
in these countries. So we'll see. And then what I would like is that there is a connection between these countries. So we can share ideas, information, create platforms so that the knowledge is spreading, the ideas are spreading, and then we'll see what comes out of it. So that's but I think I like these discussions in different countries and see that everyone's struggling with the same problems. And when you have more and more experience in how to deal with these strugglings,
mm-hmm.
I think we can advise, we advise different ministries in different countries.
Yeah.
And my ambition is to improve healthcare, to improve the meaningful work. I think that we have to create sustainable solutions for society as a whole. But perhaps that's too big. So, and for me, being a nurse, I think I understand the nursing. So I go work with this part of society. But as I said, I also studied economics and I still feel a bit like an economist.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also discussing the economical issues and how we deal with environment and so on. But for me, as if you look at buurtzorg and development, it will grow in Holland. We will have new innovations. We will start in different countries, and then we'll see.
Yeah.
So that's my attitude towards all these nice things which are happening.
Yeah, and it all sounds fairly organic that you don't really have a 3-year strategy in place for buurtzorg.
No, I have, of course, in my mind, I have ideas about what could be done. And I'm working with a lot of wonderful people in a lot of countries who are also very motivated and inspired to change things and to move things forward.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
So how crucial do you think that you are at buurtzorg? What happens like when you retire?
When I retire? Oh, it still takes quite some time, I think. But I think it's, as you saw in Amsterdam with the teams, they're not depending on me.
Yeah.
So it's I think it's more the outside world which has to be kept outside, which I think I have a role in. Mm-hmm. But in development of the teams, of the organization, my role becomes less and less important. So it's for the nurse more symbolic that they know that I'm there and that we created this together and that I play this role. But I think when I should retire within 10 years or something, then we'll see. What I see is that the empowerment on the team level is amazing. So if you see how everyone is taking responsibility for their own environment, for their teams, for their neighborhoods, that's what I also expected, was that if I'm my role will become less and less important, their role will become more and more important. So, and they will get support from each other. So they don't really need support from me. They just need support from their colleagues and from other teams when it's necessary. Mm-hmm. So I think it will just develop in a natural way. And then at a certain moment, I think I will just disappear. And nobody notices.
Yeah, maybe.
They says we will send me letters after a few years. I said, where have you been? Something like that.
That's a good idea. Just slowly fade away.
Yeah.
And then 2 years into it, someone will like,
you saw your pictures once in a while. And
I haven't seen Jos in like 2 years. I guess he's still at the company. Thanks a lot for your time, Jos.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Boss Level Podcast. I hope you liked the episode. Send me feedback at hello@bosslevelpodcast.com and feel free to share the episode on social media. And if you're a new listener, don't forget to subscribe. Our company, Reactor, doesn't have traditional manager roles either. And we have several tech, design, and business positions open in Helsinki, New York, and Tokyo. Check out reactor.com/careers if you're interested. That's reactor.com/careers. I hope your new year is starting out great. Tune in again in 2 weeks for another episode of the Boss Level Podcast.